We're going on from part one into part two of exposing the spirit of witchcraft. Heavenly Father, together we agree, we join, that we may hear from you today, hear from heaven, that we may have the mind of Christ, that we may have a heart that's open and receptive to hear what the Spirit is saying. And right now we bind the spirit of witchcraft that would seek, Lord, to divide and conquer and control and to rob God's people of their peace. We bind that and all the works of the adversary. We bind right now in the name of Jesus and cast you out of here in Jesus' name. And Lord, we say, have your way, Holy Spirit. Take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. Open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we might behold you, Lord, that we may see you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to begin with Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I am going to continue to use, for the most part, the New Living Translation for this. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, just as a foundation. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you. Now, this is Israel getting ready to enter into the promised land. Your God has given you. Be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. And do not let your people practice fortune telling, or use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Do you hear that? Yes. There are many Christians who are dabbling in these very things. They're allowing their children to watch this stuff, to play games that interact with these types of things. There are many books that are occultic in nature that Christians are reading. Christians have questionable movies and videos, DVDs nowadays. It's happening, folks. There is a huge, huge deception. And often the devil will give you an excuse to rationalize such things. It's only a fantasy novel. It's only make-believe. How many remember, of course, how can you forget, The Wizard of Oz? I watched it every year. Couldn't wait to watch The Wizard of Oz. Now they get it on DVD and, you know, you can watch it as much as you want. But, you know, it never occurred to me at that time that there's no such thing as a good witch. The good witch of the north. And so there are some people who think, well, there's black witchcraft and then there's white witchcraft. I'm going to go with the white witchcraft because that's not so bad. How many know that all witchcraft is black? Amen. It may have a white face, but it's black. It's evil. Okay. God hates these things. It's actually, it says detestable to him. So how many know that you cannot dabble in any measure with these things and have God's favor? As a matter of fact, that's what brought the problems upon the children of Israel, is when they started to pick up the customs and the practices of those that they lived among. And sometimes the reason why they lived among those people who were doing those things is because they did not obey the instruction of the Lord to drive them out. And in our personal lives, if we don't listen to the Spirit of God and get rid of and drive out the enemies of God, guess what? It's going to bring problems in your life. Amen. And so I'm not here to talk about, you know, the people that may, you know, be literally casting spells, you know, and calling on demons and, you know, and astral projecting and, you know, that kind of witchcraft. I want to talk about a witchcraft that has to do with the church. And it's the same basic thing, but it presents itself with a new face. And it is a spirit of control. When the Lord said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. How many know He sets you free to be who you are? Not to be somebody's puppet, to be controlled. So when we hear the word witchcraft, usually we're thinking about black cats, you know, long nose with the hole, with the wart. But I want you to hear this. This is what God says about this in Revelation 21:8. He says, cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, immoral, and those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Those who practice witchcraft will go to hell. Did I say that? Yes, I did. That's what the word of God says. Those who do not repent of witchcraft will go to hell. Because it is detestable to God. You cannot serve God, amen, and the devil simultaneously. It doesn't work. You cannot serve two masters. In Galatians 5:19 and 20, it talks about the works of the flesh. And it says that witchcraft is a work of the sin nature of man. So that's where it begins with. How many know that the way the devil accesses an individual is through his flesh, right? Through his sin nature. If we would protect ourselves, if we would guard our hearts, if we would guard our eye gates and our ear gates and our mouth gate, amen? How many know that you can protect yourself from a lot of sorrows? Because these things don't affect you right away. The enemy is slick. He seduces you into it. Little by little, making you think that it's okay, it's no big deal. Besides, everybody else is doing it. Besides, it's only a novel. It's only an innocent board game. Ouija board. Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, yes. That's introductory witchcraft. It's teaching people how. Harry Potter. Some parents get upset. Oh, wait a minute, Harry Potter? It's blatant witchcraft. God says it's detestable. It's unacceptable for a child of God. And people have so many problems in their own lives because they're not guarding themselves against these things. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 12, because lawlessness will abound, the love, or agape love, the love of God, in many will grow cold. Because lawlessness will abound. And that word lawless means illegality or rebellion against established authority. How many know that all sin is rebellion against God? And because people choose to refuse to listen to the Spirit of God, therefore, the love that was in them will start to die out. It'll start to grow cold. How many know the devil wants just a little crack in the door so he can get into your life and start choking the life of God out of you? Amen. And how many know that he's been very successful in many lives to do that? There are people who once were on fire for God who are now completely cold. There are people who come to churches every Sunday morning that are completely cold. They go through the routine, they go through the ritual, but they're completely cold. There's no love. There's no love of God. And because when we refuse to obey the Spirit of God, we're giving license for the enemy to come in and corrupt. I know people don't like to hear this. That's why I'm preaching it. No. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is counterfeit spiritual authority. It's using a spirit other than the Holy Spirit to dominate, manipulate, or control others. So how many know that we have a human spirit too? a soul, right? And that you can use your powers, your soul powers. You can use your willpower to intimidate, to control, amen? To manipulate. You can use your soul power, you can use your will to dominate another person. How many know that mankind does have power in his soul? And sometimes there's a blurred line between what is authentic Holy Spirit power and someone operating in soul power. Witchcraft is operating in any other spirit, whether it's the spirit of man or demonic spirits, who will also work through a man, right? Through the spirit of a man, if they're allowed access. To intimidate, usually, manipulate, to dominate a person. How many know that God doesn't take away your freedom? God doesn't take away your will to choose. Some basic ways it's used. Number one is emotional pressure to manipulate others. Another way is hype, excitement. How many have run into a few salesmen that were pretty good at that? Before you know, you're buying something that you don't even want. They manipulated you with hype. Soul power. Putting pressure. Intimidating. Men intimidate women sometimes to take advantage of them. They're so afraid to say no because of the consequences of saying no that they have just now moved in a spirit of witchcraft to dominate and control, amen, a person. You see, love is consensual. Love is something that we choose. God loves us. He chooses, agape, he chooses to love us, amen, because he is love. And this relationship we have with God is based upon love. Not based upon, if I don't, this is what's going to happen. How many know that that was not God's intention from the beginning? The law was there to simply cause us to become aware of our sinfulness. That we were separated from God. Because there are many people who are what you call self-righteous. And they don't realize that they're a mess. And so the law was the light that came on. That God says, but my standard is like this. You are right in your own eyes. You are wise in your own ways. But my standard is like this. And when we see the standard of God, we say, you know what? I've fallen short of the standard. And so, what can I do? I'm a mess. What must I do then to be saved? Who can be saved then if God's standard is so high and yet I fall so short of that? Well, that's why Jesus came. Yes. To pay the price for our sins. Amen? To make a way for us to be cleansed and to be qualified to come back into the presence of the Lord. To become sons and daughters again. True spiritual authority comes from the Lord. There are many people that are trying to work it up, trying to make it happen, trying to force it to happen, trying to control others to get their way, to go up the corporate ladder. Come on, it happens every day, doesn't it?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You have people who work in different ways to manipulate others' opinions of others because they are jealous and they feel like they got a bigger piece of cake. And so I'm going to fix their wagon and I'm going to create a story. I'm going to start spreading some gossip about this person to destroy their character or credibility. And therefore, I will tear them down so that I can build myself up. Uh-huh. How many know that's operating in a spirit of witchcraft? David refused to take authority or to seek influence for himself. We know that David was anointed by Samuel to be the king of Israel. But when he was anointed, he did not immediately ascend to the throne. Saul was still in that position. And yet the Spirit of the Lord had left King Saul and come upon David. But David knew that God was the one that was supposed to put him into his position in the time that he chose. Amen. And not in the time that David wanted to choose. David had a humble heart. David was a man after God's heart. David did not seek to exalt himself. As a matter of fact, it says nowhere that David even sought a position. He didn't even seek to be king. But God saw his heart and he chose David to be the king of Israel. Even when David had opportunity to shorten it, you know, Saul's life, to take Saul's life and ascend to the throne more quickly, when he was on the run and life was not going very good, he was tempted, amen? He was tempted to just, he had opportunity in the cave to take care of Saul, and guess what? Then I would quickly get up into my position and the problem would be over. How many know that if he had done that, he would have failed? Because he would have been then putting himself in the position of authority rather than waiting on God to place him in that place in the time that he chose. So it is in our lives, the way up in the kingdom is through opposites. The way up in the kingdom is through humility. Okay, what's the way up in the kingdom?
Humility.
You got it. You know, folks, if we want to walk in true spiritual authority, we need to follow David's example. We need to humble ourselves. We need to take on ourselves the form of a servant just like Jesus did. Amen? He didn't come seeking positions or titles or recognition of men. He came to do the will of the Father, to become a humble servant, to be the servant of all. And he demonstrated to his disciples that the way up in the kingdom is to become the servant of all. The world has the opposite. Amen. The world says the way up is to claw your way, work your way, whatever it is, manipulate your way to the top. Because he who has the most toys when he dies wins. You all seen that bumper sticker? He who has the most toys wins. That's a lie. Can't take no toys to heaven. No U-Haul going to heaven. Anytime we try to gain, by our own manipulation or self-promotion, authority, we are actually hindering the process by which God wants to truly exalt us. How many want to be exalted by God? How many know that it's right for you to want to be exalted by God? I know, because some people say, oh no, I'm too humble to be exalted by God. No, it's right that we would want to be exalted by God. But not by ourselves, folks. This is the problem. When we want to exalt ourselves, now we're actually becoming an enemy to God. We're getting in the way. When we wait on God and allow him to do it in his time, when he establishes you someplace, amen, when he puts you into position, no man can take that from you. You don't have to live in a place of protectionism. Because now I have placed myself in that assignment, you know, maybe prematurely, or I'm not even supposed to be there. And yet I had worked it pretty good in the church, and I had put on a good show, a good act. And sometimes well-meaning pastors put people into position too before their time, especially in smaller churches, because the temptation is we need children's workers. We need helpers. We need this. We need that. We need elders. We need deacons. Hello. And if we're not careful, we will get ahead of God, and we can actually hurt people more than helping them by putting them prematurely into position of authority. Amen. We are not to put a novice into the position of authority, amen, especially as a pastor. And I've said this before, but, you know, in the Korean church, you serve. You know, you start out by serving the senior pastor and helping others. And you take the low seat. You don't sit in the chief seat in the synagogue. But you serve. And you learn what it is to be a servant leader. Jesus was a servant leader. That's true godly authority. And so We need to do it God's way. We need to have a heart like David. Understand that God does want to lift you up, first of all. God does want to exalt you. Why? So that he can reveal himself through you to a lost and dying world. Not so that we can stand up and say, look how spiritual I am. Because that's not true humility at all, is it? As a matter of fact, you even have folks that move in false humility. They're so humble, they're proud of themselves. Come on. You have people who, after God uses, you know, all you're hearing about is, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. How many know that's not humility, folks? It's stinky. God wants to exalt you, but the way up in the kingdom is through servanthood, through humility, submitting yourself under the mighty hand of God, saying, Father, you decide. I was trying to quickly review some of this from last week and then jump ahead to today. So I'm going to go right from here into the son of David, who is Absalom, who did not follow in his dad's footsteps. But Absalom was selfishly ambitious. Absalom got caught up in the spirit of witchcraft. And instead, he sought to ascend the throne of his father through manipulation. And it says that he stole the hearts of the people in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2. Let's take a look at that. He got up early every morning, this is Absalom, and went out to the gate of the city. Now, the gate of the city is where the elders and the chiefs of the city would gather, the important people. And so here he is as a prince and yet trying to prematurely exalt himself into the position where his father was, here at the gate where the important people were. And when people brought a case to the king for judgment, Absalom would ask where in Israel they were from, and they would tell him their tribe. Then Absalom would say, you've really got a strong case here. It's too bad the king doesn't have anyone to hear it. I wish I were the judge. Then everyone could bring their cases to me for judgment. And I would give them justice. What is he saying? I can do a better job than he can. Of course, you've never said that about your boss, right? If I were boss, if I were king, if I were a boss, or if I was in that position, I would do it this way. Well, the fact of the matter is you're not in that position. And in most cases, you haven't got a clue what it's really like to be in that position. We think that we know what it would be like to be in that position. And so our pride gets in the way. And we think that if I just, you know, if I can just cut them down a few notches and then I can build myself up, somehow I'm going to get to where they're at and they're going to come down. How many know that's not waiting on God to exalt you? That's manipulation. So Absalom's saying, listen, I can do a better job, my father. And when people tried to bow before Absalom, he wouldn't let them. What's he doing here? People tried then to bow before Absalom, and he stopped them. What's that? False humility. Yes. It was all a game. He was playing with their heads. And they thought, oh, how humble. He won't even allow us to bow before him. Instead, he would reach out and grab their hand and kiss their hand. Have you ever had anybody do that sleazy stuff where they're so nice, but underneath there's an agenda? I've said this before, but my dad, he told me, be careful of people that are too nice. There's usually an agenda. So Absalom did this with everyone who came to the king for judgment, and so he stole the hearts of all the people of Israel. Now understand this, that David, being a king and a man after God's own heart, he did not take matters into his own hands even to avenge himself of Absalom. But David still loved his son even though he had rebelled against him. Folks, how many know that sometimes the devil wants to get you upset and get you offended against another believer who has indeed done something that was not right, but just for the sake of getting you offended? So that you're now becoming, you're walking in unforgiveness, which turns to bitterness, and then you become a defiler yourself. And so David did not, again, seek to manipulate people. You never see that in his reign. Instead, he left it up to God. But he was brokenhearted because Absalom had rebelled against him. But Absalom eventually was killed in battle, if you remember. And when the word came back to David, it says that he was deeply grieved. How many know that we should grieve over brothers and sisters who have taken the wrong path? Instead of kicking them while they're down or rubbing their name in the mud, how many know that we should pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us? How many know that we should bless those who curse us? We should do the opposite. If they curse us, we should bless them. We should love our enemies. See, the world doesn't think that way, does it? It doesn't operate that way. But we're not of this world either. Jesus said, "My kingdom's not of this world, and neither is ours." Amen. In Christ, we have a higher authority now. And we need to live according to the rule of God in our hearts. And so we know that the fear of man will also lead to witchcraft. Even as Samuel had spoken to Saul, and he had come to Saul, and Saul had compromised the will of God because he got scared and he got impatient. And he said, "I saw my men scattering," 1 Samuel 13:11, "from me. And you didn't arrive when you said you would. And the Philistines are at Michmash, ready for battle. So I said, 'The Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal. And I haven't even asked for the Lord's help.' So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came." He stepped out of the realm of his God-given authority. He got scared and he feared the people. And Samuel said in verse 13, "How foolish! You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." What happened was Saul feared the people more than he feared God. He was more concerned about people leaving than God leaving. Are you hearing me? You know that happens in churches. We can become so afraid that people will leave that we start to compromise the truth to please man. And how many know that God will write Ichabod over the door? His spirit will depart a church that compromises his word. And so Saul fell prey because he feared man. It says that he actually literally went to the witch of Endor, remember, to consult her. Because God had not answered him when he had sought him. And he became impatient in the process. He wanted answers quicker than what God was going to give him. How many know God's timing is perfect? How many know it's worth waiting on God for an answer before you move? How often have we jumped the gun because, "Well, I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed 5 minutes and nothing happened." "Well, let me call the psychic hotline." And that's what he did. He called the psychic hotline and it cost him his life and his kingdom. because God detests these things. Those of us who do walk in authentic, true spiritual authority are the ones who are least affected by the spirit of witchcraft. That does not mean that you may not suffer the consequences of somebody using it against you. But it means that you as a person will stand because you're in the authority of God. You're in the place that God has put you. And that is the safest place to be, in the assignment of God for your life. If you're not called to be chief, don't try to be chief. Amen? Amen. If you're not called to be a teacher, don't try to be a teacher. Be in your assignment. It's the safest place to be. It's a stronghold against the enemy, because where God anoints and he places, amen, he will also guard you in that place. You don't have to live in fear that you're going to lose your position. If you put yourself in that position, now you've got to live in that place of protecting it. But if God placed you there, you're going to have peace in that assignment, because his grace is sufficient for us in the call of God.
Amen.
I can remember when I was a new Christian and I was watching these guys on television. And I was all excited for Jesus. And you know, the zeal of the Lord was consuming me. But there was a disconnect between my maturity, you know, and my heart. And I was all, wouldn't it be great to be that person? Wouldn't it be great to be that person? I was looking at everybody else and wanting to be like so-and-so and so-and-so. Wouldn't it be great to be great? And you know what? We have no idea what they have to endure, what they have to go through to be in the public eye, in the spotlight. And some of these, yes, are authentic. They are called of God to do what they do, even to be on television. Because the gospel's getting out, amen? People are getting saved, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered, set free. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And as far as their character is concerned, that's not really our business. It's our business only to the degree that if we have opportunity to get alone with them, to talk to them, that we do so. It is not our business to go around and drag their name in the mud to make ourselves look good and make them look bad.
Amen.
Because a lot of times people are slamming these guys, amen, that are doing the work of the Lord, that do have high profile positions, because they're jealous of them.
Amen.
And it's a spirit of witchcraft. It's divisive, and it's causing more damage than good. Folks, we got to be careful about name dropping. Well, so-and-so, have you seen so-and-so? How many know Jesus said to the Lord, that servant stands or falls, right? How many know that you and I belong to him?
Amen.
We're his property. Be very careful how you treat his property. The same thing goes to the way I treat you. Amen? We got to be very careful how we treat one another. Because the Lord is looking. The Lord is listening. We always shared the fact that God's true authority comes by servanthood. And humility is a safety net for us. In Zephaniah chapter 2, in verse 3, in the New King James, it says, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice." It says, seek righteousness, seek humility. It doesn't say, seek power. It says, seek righteousness, seek humility. It doesn't say, seek power. As a matter of fact, what we're called to do is not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is about being submitted to the authority of God the Father, operating, amen, in the capacity that he has anointed us to do so. listening to his voice, doing what he shows us to do, saying what he tells us to say. Amen. Staying in that position of submission under the mighty hand of God. And if we will learn and practice to do this step by step, then the Bible says that God will exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. In 1 Peter 5 and 6, it says in the same way, in verse 5, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. Verse 6, so humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and the mighty power of God. At the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Okay, today, I also want to add this in, okay? There's a thing, how many have ever heard the term charismatic witchcraft? Charismatic witchcraft. Okay. How many have heard of the charismatic movement? Okay. It's not, I'm not talking about the charismatic movement. We're not talking about Pentecostalism. We're talking about charismatic witchcraft. And this is a very subtle thing that operates within the ranks of the Christian church. And many people, if they don't understand what it is, if they don't, many times don't even realize that we're involved in this type of witchcraft. It's the same thing, it's the same basic principle, this witchcraft. It's a white form of witchcraft that seeks to gain control over others and situations. I want you to hear this. Through prophecies, false dreams, and visions. And these things can neutralize or even destroy a church. It's tapping into another realm, and yet the person usually who is involved in that has no idea that they're in the wrong spirit. And so because they're getting these dreams and visions and revelations, by the way, God does give dreams and visions and revelations that are authentic, that are from him, and they're a gift to the church. Amen? But there are people who are tapping in to the wrong source, and they're getting these things. And because they get these revelations, they seem to think that I have the mind of Christ, and therefore it makes me a greater authority than the one who's in position of authority. And they begin to undermine leadership. They begin to work around leadership. And they begin to seduce others through their false dreams and visions, to follow after them rather than Christ. How many know that when you're operating in the Holy Spirit always exalts Jesus? The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. It doesn't point to the prophet. The Holy Spirit doesn't go around waving a flag. The Holy Spirit is saying, look to him. And unfortunately, folks, sometimes because of these false things that infiltrate in, we have to be on our guard and we have to be discerning. It can cause leadership to overreact. I want you to hear it. To overreact to it and thus begin to actually despise prophecy and shut down the prophetic. This is the danger. Either way, see, the devil's so slick, he's going to work it any way he can. He's going to try to poison you against it altogether. So you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I hate that term, but I didn't have it. What else to say? But are you hearing me? And so what he does is he is afraid of the authentic anointing of God. He's afraid of the move of God's Spirit. And so he's going to try to shut down the move of God's authentic Spirit. Amen? By getting people paranoid of demons, paranoid of the false. There are some churches that are so focused on what's wrong and what's false that they're afraid of everything now. They actually have gone into the place of fear now, and they have shut down the authentic. And so the devil wins again. He's afraid of the power of God, the authentic, because he knows it's not by might or power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And it's God's authority, amen, that is backed up by his power that destroys the works of the devil. There are many churches that don't cast out devils anymore. People come bound, they leave bound. They drug them up, they send them to counseling, but they never get set free. Their life is nothing but a cycle of up and down, up and down, up and down, and they don't get free. Why? Because they're so afraid of what's wrong that they're not trusting God for what's right. They're so afraid of strange fire that there's now no fire, which is also a tactic of the enemy. Anytime you have the authentic, anytime you have a people that are moving in the Spirit of God, that are open to the gifts of the Spirit, the enemy's going to try to get in there and mess it up, folks.
Amen.
But we cannot allow that to shut us down and to be afraid to open up and to let the Holy Spirit use us. That's why we pray for discernment, which is also a gift of the Spirit. Discernment of spirits. Charismatic witchcraft can also come in the form of evil gossip. How about political maneuvering too? Jealousy. People have discovered that through storytelling and gossip, they can ruin the reputation of those they feel are a threat to their position of influence. Remember, God gives His grace to the humble. Now, sometimes even in the church, people use political maneuvering to manipulate the opinions of others towards someone they are in competition with. There's all kinds of silly stuff that goes on. I want to be the first deacon. I want to be the deacon. I want to be the elder. I want to be this. I want to be chief. I want to, you know. Well, I want to be the Sunday school director. How come they got in there? Well, I know what I'll do. I'll start spreading some gossip about them. All this kind of crazy stuff goes on. It's witchcraft. It's manipulation. Sometimes people use intimidation to control others. You got your people. It's the leaven of Herod. It's a political spirit. They're all about committees and votes and popular votes. And who's in what title and what position and what, you know. Well, I have a reputation in this town. Therefore, I want to ascend to deacon. How many know that biblical deacons are serving tables?
Amen.
How many know that pastors are serving people?
Amen.
Amen. They're not ruling kings. They're to be examples to the flock. They're not the Lord over them. And they're not to control people. If you ever feel that I'm being controlling, let me know. Just not right here while I'm talking. You belong to Jesus. I belong to Him. Therefore, I don't own you. And you don't own me. I've had lots of people think that they could own me. Maybe you've had people try to own you too. I've had people try to tell me what to do, you know. Amen. Well, you know what you ought to do? Well, I'm glad you suggested that. Why don't you do it? You know, so I'm open to suggestions, don't get me wrong. But sometimes what it is, it's a subtle form of, I'm going to sit in the armchair and be an armchair preacher. I'm going to be in the director's seat of the church. And no, I'm not in the pulpit. And no, I'm not the one, you know, necessarily in the spotlight. But I'm going to control the one who is from my armchair. Come on. It's witchcraft. It's manipulation for control. And if they don't do what I say, then I'm going to withhold my tithe. We'll put the squeeze on the pastor. How many know that that doesn't work with me? You can take your tithe and you can go. Because we're going to do what God says.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? I found that God always takes care of us. We've had people exit this place. We've had several people, the highest tithers, leave at the same time. You know what? I'm just going to bless them. That's it. I'm not going to curse. I'm going to bless them as they go. But you know what? I'm not going to be controlled by that. I'm not going to be owned by anybody except Jesus. And the same thing's true for you. Don't let any man own you.
Amen.
You're free in Christ.
Amen.
And sometimes, you've heard it said before, but free people are the hardest to control. We are a living organism. It moves and it grows. Amen. And God brings people in and God moves people out. Amen. He raises people up and he brings people down. But it's the work that he does. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will do it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's saying that the demonic authorities, amen, that exist in the heavenly places are not going to be able to stop what I'm doing. But if you try to do my job for me, now you've got a problem. If I try to build this church, if I try to take the place of the architect, I want you to hear this. Now I'm in trouble because I'm not trusting the Lord anymore. I'm not walking by faith. I'm trying to just to use common sense judgment. I'm trying to use my reason to figure out what's going to work and what's not. Now, God will speak to your mind, to your reason. But we need to be very careful that we're not trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to force anyone to do our bidding. I've been in places before where the pastor literally told somebody that if you leave this church, your eyes are going to bleed. They called a curse on them. Called a curse on them. And out of fear, people would stay in that church. Do you know this is going on all over the place, folks? It's charismatic witchcraft. People are being manipulated. They're being controlled. They're using titles and positions as a carrot to manipulate and control people too. Well, we're afraid we're going to lose John, so we will give him this title. Forgive me if your name is John today. I'm not talking about you. You understand, we have to trust God with what he's doing. Get out of the way and stay in the way with him. Amen. Walk in the way with him. And, you know, the Lord has reiterated this to me many times, but he said, just build the people. Amen. Don't build churches, build the people.
Amen.
He's going to take care of the structure. He's going to take care of who he brings in, who's not. Sometimes I still, to this day, when I don't see people here, it bugs me. There are people that are part of this body, but for some reason they're not here today. It bugs me. But you know what? I got to let go of that.
Amen.
And trust God with their soul. It doesn't mean that I ignore them and I don't reach out to them, but it means that who knows what God might be doing with them right now, where they're at. But I can't be in control of you. And the same thing is true for one another in here. There's so much to say, but not enough time, so let me just finish with this today, folks. If you have been influenced by this spirit, you need to repent. And you need to repent immediately. And you need to call on the Lord for mercy. The reason I'm talking about these things, folks, is not so much that we're having a problem, okay? But that we also need to practice precaution. We need to be wise so that once the light is on what the enemy is up to, we'll recognize it when it shows up. Are you with me?
Amen.
And we can protect ourselves as we grow. Because there are going to be wolves in sheep's clothing that come in among us. And we need to have discernment. Amen. To those who are authentic. And as I'd spoken a few months ago, those who are operating in the counterfeit. So God help us. Lord, we ask you for discernment. We ask you to open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our hearts, that we may know what is of you, what is true. And when we know the truth, Lord God, it will keep us free from every lie and every deception and every trick of the enemy to try to control, intimidate, or dominate us. Father, we're asking for your help as we go forward, that we will love, that we will build on the foundation of love. Love, love for you and love for one another. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name to bless each one as we depart today. Father, may your peace, your perfect peace, your shalom rest upon us. Lord, guard our hearts and our minds until we meet again, in Jesus' name.